Commonwealth or even free association. But because it was scheduled during a regular election, many voters were going to the polls anyway, and statehood ended up with about 52% of the vote. No one expects Congress to grant statehood, however, even though an increasing number of Democrats and billionaire hedge fund types are pressing for statehood as a way to increase potential Democratic votes in the U.S. House and the Senate. But the truly historic change came in the regular election.
Juan, we have
an
10
unprecedented
seconds.
Number of voters deserted the dinosaur duopoly of the pro-statehood and pro-Commonwealth parties that has alternated in power in Puerto Rico for the last 60 years.
Juan,
several
we have
minor
to leave
parties
it there.
ended up grabbing a third of all the votes cast. The pro-statehood Progressive Party.
Juan, we're going to have to leave it there, but we're going to continue to cover this next week, and you can check all the latest news at democracynow.org.
Are you still looking for a way to fit KBOO into your year-end giving? KBOO is in this year's Willamette Week Give Guide. For the last 14 years, Give Guide has raised over $28 million for hundreds of local nonprofits. Support KBOO and learn more about Give Guide by going to kboo.fm/give. Remember, we have a one-to-one match for all new and increasing donations too. Thank you for supporting KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available at our website. The Personnel Committee meets on the second Monday of the month at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 8:01. It's Friday. Mind the gap, because we're going to bridge it, because girls are powerful. Stand by.
Good morning, universe. Hello, hello. I'm Tam, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. We're mining, we're bridging, we are filling the gap.
Yeah, filling in.
There you go.
Well, any other idioms that have to do with the idea?
It's a hand sanitizer. It just hit me right in the middle, so I was like, well, okay, that woke me up.
Hello.
In the studio with me are a lovely, jubilant, professional, and beyond capable minds, the beautiful minds of Althea. Hello, how are you? And Sonia.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, Sonia. I'm okay. I had a similar thing with the hand sanitizer where I had a cough drop in, but I'm wearing a mask, obviously, and like the menthol was getting in my eyes. I'm like crying, just waiting for us to start the show.
Nice.
You know, get it going in the morning, that kind of thing. What's up with you, Sonia?
Well, I've been working on, my neighbors do a podcast, and I was working on a election coverage bingo.
Nice.
So we have, in remember we were talking about, I think it was it just last week or the week before? Unprecedented.
Unprecedented time.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have things like
dislike that phrase.
Mm-hmm. We have things like it's unclear whether the president has the authority to ...
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And oh, we had so many really good ones.
I would like to say in those cases, let's err on the side that maybe the president doesn't have that power. And that's not even specific to this guy.
Unprecedented, as they say.
But you know what? Somebody might be unprecedented.
Oh!
Was that a pun worth making?
It was. Sure. It was. We need more of it. Whatever it is, we need more of it. I know. So everyone knows we are still waiting for election results. Mm-hmm. And we are going to be talking about things that we do know about today.
Yeah, yeah.
Some local results, which is super exciting because local stuff. Oh, boy, do we have a lot to say today.
Yeah, there's been a lot that that has transpired. You know, Oregon, on top of the counting, we've got good results in at this point of what did and didn't go through.
And how did they count so many votes, right, in like the first night? And now for the last 2 days, we're just in a cliffhanger.
There's so many memes about Nevada right now. And I saw somebody, like, was watching a live stream of them count votes, and it was just, like, this is probably just in, like, one county, but it's, like, four people in, like, a room just, you know, going through it.
Little do they know, it's, like, there's just, like, I don't know, people in the background, like, count, wait, don't count, wait, are we telling them to count or not count, we forgot.
Yeah, and then people from Nevada are like, hey, we're 50th in education, give us some time, we're not good at counting.
Did they actually say that?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, not like officially, but like, you know, jokes about how counting is hard.
Hey, that's I've seen a lot of
congratulations to Mississippi. We're slipping up the ranking, apparently.
Nice.
Oh,
slipping up the ranking.
Last I heard, Mississippi was 50.
I was like, what did Mississippi do?
Slipping. That makes sense. Why you
Yeah, let me check my facts here. Whose education is worse? And if Mississippi is worse, it kind of makes Nevada look bad.
Nevada, it's like, come on, you should know this. But Georgia, yeah, they're like, it's, you know, just had an Amy Goodman there saying, you know, everyone here is a Republican, and then somehow it flipped. It switched. What happened? And they're like, yeah, there's definitely going to be a recall. So, but they're going to find out that we got the same numbers because we know how to count here in Georgia. And I just thought that was quite endearing because, you know.
I'm seeing conflicting things about whether Alabama or Mississippi is the worst.
I guess we're going to find out after this election.
Which is the most uneducated state. Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you say it like that, you got to ask in like a, you know, diplomatic way, like, which state is ranked?
Yeah. What? I mean, I think they probably measure it by, like, you know, public school test scores, which can be a fraught measurement.
Yeah, high stakes
looking
testing
at you,
is...
Common
what?
Core.
Oh.
Gross. Sorry, now is not the time
We're just airing out a lot of things here. Feeling, hey,
for
you know.
To get angry about standardized testing.
Now is the time to do it. And it's been a long, strange trip for the last, I don't even know what time is anymore. And I wanted to give a huge shout out to you, Althea, for the amazing election coverage that you did this week.
Thank you so much. I'm
big
very
rounds
proud
of applause.
Everybody who helped out. Shout out to everybody who helped out. Yvonne, Annette, Jenka, Arthur, all the news volunteers. Did a good job. And, you know, working with being in separate studios, not being in the same space. Annette was working from home because she had a coworker who was quarantining. So, you know, we made it work. Proof of concept.
Yeah.
Radio can work remotely.
It did make it work. And it sounded so good. And it was, you know, and you it ran long, too. So, you know, obviously you were into it. It wasn't just, it's awesome.
Yeah, lots to say. do we want to talk about local results, or do we want to play a TikTok about the Electoral College really quick?
I guess we are going to do a little TikTok. Is there a dance to it?
Is there a dance to the TikTok? No, it's mostly verbal. Sonia, did you get that when I sent it over? It's okay if not.
Yes, I did.
Okay,
nice.
Great. This is, you know, because, hey, the Electoral College, what a weird thing, you know? Why is it like that? Great question. not something we're going to explore on this program, but we are going to lament how weird it is. This is from TikTok user Deadeye Breakman. I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, first, Let's open it right.
Oh, all right.
This is TikTok Watch 2020 with the GAP hosts, Althea Billing and Tammy Upteas.
So just go straight to it.
Oh, I was going to say, do a little news anchor. That's right. It's just a mini TikTok watch because it's funny, you know. Other things to watch on. Yeah. Let's hear it.
You're complaining about how the Electoral College doesn't make any sense, and I guess my question to you is, what is your sick obsession with things making sense? I mean, what is even the alternative? Having everyone's votes count the same? That's crazy. You're acting crazy. Of course someone in Iowa's vote should count 200 times more than someone in California. They are the farmers. You know, they make the corn, and without corn, we wouldn't have my favorite Mexican meal, which is a bunch of mozzarella microwaved on top of Fritos. Saying everyone's votes should count the same is like saying everyone should be allowed to come into my house. What, should everyone just have equal access to my fridge? No, you're not getting my drawer full of salami. Look, the four daddies of our country designed it this way. You think you know better than 20 slaveholders in 1776 who shit into buckets at night? Do you know how crazy you sound? I'm like worried about you. Without the Electoral College, we would just be socialism. And you know who else has socialism? Venezuela. And I'm afraid of Venezuela because they don't have chicken nuggets. I mean, it's a perfect system. Hold on. Honey, what's the problem? No, you can make the salad yourself. Just put the mayonnaise on top of the carrot like mommy showed you.
The four daddies. Yeah, that's what I got. I like the four daddies.
I thought you might enjoy the four daddies. A lot of good culinary references in that one. You can tell she's a woman of taste.
Disenfranchise me harder, daddy.
Oh, boy.
You think you know better than four slaveholders? Interesting. Wow, that was good. That was good. There's satire, just in case folks didn't understand it's the satire. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of the satire on the TikTok and the internet. It's a very sarcastic place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys haven't heard about that. Most of the time, people are not being serious. Even sometimes, and here's the thing, have you guys heard about The Onion? Some people on Facebook haven't. Some people on Facebook still get duped by that kind of thing, which I always find to be funny.
I don't know, sometimes I have to do a double take and I'm like, is this from The Onion or is this from The New York Times? I can't tell anymore.
Yeah. Or you see the headline and you're like, wait, that's true though. I thought you guys were like a website full of lies. I don't understand.
I was like, so are you just reporters now? I don't understand The Onion, what's going on?
Okay, I actually follow a Facebook group called So The Onion Is Just Factual News Now?
Oh boy.
It's confusing. I guess. I mean, it's like Matt Groening, shout out Portland or Oregonian. They're like, oh yeah, Matt Groening, you know, time traveler. Obviously, they predicted everything with like Trump and everything from just a couple of things, and they're like, no, we just are very observative of like the observative. We're just very observant of the of the cultural norms and what's gonna happen. We could tell. I'm like, I don't think you could.
There's some stuff you would not be able to tell. There's something about a guy being like mauled by a tiger, which is one of like the Simpsons predicted it. Things.
So specific,
really well, specific.
I mean, come on, that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, you don't have people to be a genius
their,
to figure that
out. People make their living like tormenting animals. Eventually, they're going to be mauled by one.
Right. Mm. Right.
Hey, shout out Tiger King.
Ooh.
That feels like it's like a 2010 reference.
I know. It feels like oh no, we're regressing. You know what we should do? Let's forget the election and everything. Let's really dig into the Carol Baskin case. What is our read on that?
There's probably a podcast.
Probably.
There's
Oh, I'm sure the true crime junkies are loving it. Mm. And I have limited interest because guess what? It makes me sad.
It does, yeah. For the animals, right?
Yeah, for the animals and for the people involved. It's kind of sad on both, but definitely for the animals. Goodness.
They don't
belong on this continent, fundamentally. Anyway, should we talk about, you know,
the elections and the world's impending
local results?
Literally the biggest thing that's happening.
Yeah.
Right
well,
now.
You know, this is nice. We're taking a couple of moments out, you know, to just kind of like recalibrate
speaking
ourselves.
Speaking of time travelers, let's go back to March.
It's just recalibrating ourselves, figuring out what year, what moment we're at, because it's only it's only yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's it.
Yeah, the big three.
Yeah, the only
sorry, threes. That doesn't mean anything. Okay, let's talk about election results.
Are we starting with Mayorial, or do you want to start with the ballads? Because I have so much to say about the Mayorial.
Mayorial?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's start with the Mayorial then. The rural juror. yeah, let's talk about the Portland mayor. Ted Wheeler eked it out.
Yeah, it did. You said, you know, people like Ted Wheeler won. I'm like, okay, he didn't necessarily win. He mm-hmm. just didn't lose.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because more people voted against him mm-hmm. than for him.
Yeah.
America.
Yeah, that is how our system works with our voting system. And here's the thing that they don't tell you. It doesn't have to be like that. and nobody's talking about this. That's not true. In Benton County, they started doing ranked choice voting this election, which maybe will get some statewide attention, which would be cool because that allows you to prioritize candidates and it doesn't ask people to make tough strategic voting decisions, especially with Ted Wheeler's challenger and the write-in candidate Teresa Rayford, and then his challenger being Sarah Annarone, which are much more obviously ideologically aligned. But you know, Teresa got, I believe, 12% of the write-in
vote.
It's
huge. That is major. Huge. If Sarah was to get those points, mm-hmm. then
even like less than half.
Yeah,
of it,
she would have won. Yeah. But she didn't. That's because we're living in reality, and mm-hmm. You know, facts are facts. And I think that I'd like to take a second to talk about what I think the impact of this type of writing campaign, specifically for Portland and for Teresa, like may mean for the future. Because I think that obviously she was before because she was just very active in the community and Don't Shoot Portland and mm-hmm. all of the work that she's done. But I think that now maybe people who weren't familiar with her work and people who are more on the, you know, kind of, I don't want to be too radical. Like, I want progress and I support my fellow human beings, but let's not get too crazy there. Right. I think that now they're seeing that, like, oh no, Teresa Rayford is a force to be reckoned with, and she is serious and she is professional and she does have a serious clout, you know, in the community and politically now. And mm-hmm. I think that there's just going to be a brighter future and greener pastures. And I think that this isn't the last time that we are going to be seeing these kind of efforts mm-hmm. or at least I think that there's a lot for the future there as far as Portland and the recognition and the respect I think that this type of outcome deserves, because it really changed everything. Again, like, Ted Wheeler didn't win. He didn't most people did not vote for him,
mm-hmm.
but he still won because not a technicality, it's just because
that's the way the system works.
That's the four daddies, they knew what they were doing.
He got the most amount of votes of anybody. But yeah, yeah, yeah. It
Wait,
is
he
super
got less than 50.1% of the total vote.
I was saying he got the most votes out of anyone. I believe it was like 47%.
But
like
if
that.
And the city allows that.
Oh,
I
yeah.
was not aware of this.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Here's a...
your gripe with the... Go ahead. Yeah,
yeah, let me talk some democracy facts. He has a plurality of the votes.
Right.
Not the majority.
That's
so
it.
So shouldn't that go to a runoff between the top two?
She did... Sarah did... she did contest, I think, the results the night of.
Yeah, she didn't concede until the day after because there was like 200,000 votes that hadn't been fully vetted yet or whatever, but... she eventually did concede. I mean, the runoff was, this is the runoff, right? Like, Portland's elections like this are a little bit weirder because if there is somebody in the primary, which was back in May, that had gotten 50% of the vote, that would have been the mayoral race. But because Ted and Sarah did not, that's why they had the runoff in the November election. And write-in candidates are, you know, on the ballot as an option, but they're not like factored into that, basically. So I understand the frustration about it, but it's a weird part of the system. And it's also weird to think that, like, yeah, this person has the plurality, you know, you look at the pie chart, it's the biggest slice, but the majority of people did not select them as their first choice. And you know, it's a tough thing when there's like three, you know, strong candidates like that on the ballot. Well, okay, one of them was written into the ballot, but still counts, you know, like three viable people, mm-hmm. and that the system favors two of them, right? Like that right. they're on the ballot, but that also, like, you force people to do, like, strategic voting with that. Like, there might be somebody out there who's like, you know, I am more ideologically aligned with Teresa Rayford than I am with Sarah Iannarone, but I don't believe, like, I think I'm throwing my vote away if I
yeah, which is something that you heard a lot of, is mm-hmm. even in the federal, where it's like, you know, don't vote Green or Libertarian, because that's just throwing your vote away, which mm-hmm. is just kind of, like, sad, because then you're just, like, what part of you is voting? Is it, are you right. going with, like, strategic? Are you going with hoping for a viable future? Are you hoping for, you know, like, what mm-hmm. what's the point? But
and from, like, the political science perspective, like, part of the reason that that's so problematic is that it doesn't create stable outcomes when people are trying to be strategic like that. Like, you're not going to get the same answer to the, like, a common set of problems from people. Like, you know, somebody's like, I'm going to vote with my heart. I really, like, I want to write in Teresa, or I really think that, you know, I'm going to vote Sarah, but I also support this person, right? Like, it's a problem when the outcomes that we get from doing democracy don't actually represent the will of the people and, like, what people want.
And I think you see that perfectly now, because I don't a lot of people were criticizing Ted Wheeler, and I was shook that
yeah.
they were reelected. Like, I was really something like, oh, Oregon, come on now, you're gonna decriminalize yeah. drugs, and you're gonna medical, like, you're gonna do all of this, but yeah. no, you're gonna keep Ted Wheeler. Like, that's where you're gonna draw the line, well, you know? Yeah, like, you're no, gonna... you're gonna, like, but then, like, when you break it down and you start to understand, like, the system behind it, you know, and that he didn't actually, I mean, I don't want to say he didn't actually win or something, but he did
the
win.
System, he won.
Yeah,
that's the way that things work. But
and the Willamette Week has an interesting article about Sarah, which is out there for people to read. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting thinking about, like, the re-election of Ted Wheeler, the election of Mingus Maps, but also, like, the Portland City Police Oversight Measure passing, like, 82% of the vote. It's, like, a real kind of mixed mandate in terms of what people want, obviously, because, yeah. like, the amendment was, or the measure was introduced by Commissioner Hardesty, who endorsed the opposite people of who got elected, being Chloe Udaly and Sarah Iannarone. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of, like, you know, unclear message, I guess you could say, from the voters, like, will get played out in city council.
Or how the system is set up, or how the way that the system is set up distorts the will of the voters mm-hmm. by forcing people to make certain choices that don't properly reflect their will.
Mm-hmm.
And so where people clearly want one thing, but then are diverted and manipulated and twisted into making particular choices, because it's like someone who really likes green.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you can wear your red coat or your yellow coat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, but I really like green. Well, but you have these two options.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, the people have spoken. It's yellow coats. Like, no.
Right.
And it's the four daddies.
The four daddies, they did this to us, unfortunately.
And I'd like to, if there's people listening, I'd like to hear from people who exercise their freedom.
If there's people listening.
I also took note of that.
I'm sorry. If there are people listening. There are by the billions
well,
people
we don't
listening.
Know that.
Well, I mean, we would like to hear from you is the point.
Is that what I meant to say? we would like to hear from you and your
opinion.
What if
you're just like, if you're listening, you know, cut it off. I don't know.
We really want to hear from the people who aren't listening.
Yeah. Can you get them on the line?
Hey, you, call in right now and tell us how you feel. I'd like to hear from people who did exercise their freedom and, you know, especially from people, I guess, I don't want to incriminate anyone or make anyone feel uncomfortable, but, you know, get your opinions, especially if you were into the whole write-in campaign, 503-231-8187. And how do you feel about it post, you know, post elections?
Postmortem, yeah.
I didn't want to say that, you know, but okay. I'm glad you said it. You know, dissecting and diving into the postmortem of this election locally. But yeah, the number is 503-231-8187. Did you vote for? Did you participate in the writing campaign? How did it feel, especially now post results?
So
we don't have any background music for, but that's fine. We'll just keep on going.
I sent Sonia like this 15-second clip, but I don't know that that's like the right thing to play right now. I don't know.
If
yeah, do it.
Okay,
I changed
cool.
my mind.
All right,
it's a parody of The Cure. Let me preface.
That title makes more sense now.
Yeah.
I can hear it. I can hear the title as the chorus.
Is it election-related?
Holding the people in suspense. It's not election-related.
Oh.
I thought you might like a 15-second.
Monday, you can fall apart. Tuesday, Wednesday, fall apart. Oh, Thursday.
That's it. That's also from TikTok.
It's the Cure Friday fall apart. Just fall apart because it's because this is where we are right now.
Yeah.
This is what democracy looks like.
Yeah, and I feel like you know that could be something we use on the show. It's like, is the show going good? Or is it Friday I'm in love or is it Friday fall apart? Unclear.
It rhymes.
I only wish that they had like pitched it a little bit different because they're like, it's Friday, fall apart, you know.
Oh, but you see, I have edits.
Yeah,
now you got notes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I think we have a caller coming up soon. And Catherine is on the line with us. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
This isn't about the mayoral race, but it's about Mingus Maps. I don't understand how Portland elected someone who was supported by the police union. So that's, I was just kind of blown away that he got elected.
Mm-hmm.
So if y'all want to talk about that, I'd be interested. It was a very hard decision about the mayoral race because I really love and support Teresa, but I was afraid that, you know, like some people, that would pull votes away from Sarah, so I voted for Sarah, and it looks like I should have just gone ahead and voted for Teresa.
Well, that's interesting. I'd like to unpack that, if you don't mind. What makes you wish that you had voted for her now?
Because the two of them together did get a lot of votes. You know, Teresa just does amazing work in this community and in the world. But I really thought Sarah had a chance to be mayor, and I really didn't want Ted Wheeler to be mayor because he's...
Yeah, he's had his chance, we'll put it that way, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the whole tear gas thing and then not... I realize the governor has overridden him about some of that and gone around him on some of that, which I also don't agree with, but he really didn't. I mean, long before the federal people came here, the federal troops, Portland police were, you know, tear gassing us for months, as I recall. It's been so long. So there's many things I don't agree with him about. So perhaps you know, I don't think that Teresa would have won anyway, but I think there were a lot more people in support of her than who voted for her. So, you know, walking around, there were yard signs many places in Northeast for her. And just generally, I think people were more in support, but they probably voted the way I did and voted for Sarah, hoping that she... That would pull votes away from Ted Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
So if y'all could talk about Mingus Maps, I'd love to hear some more
sure,
thoughts
thank
about
you.
That.
Thanks,
okay,
Catherine.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate you.
You know, it makes me so sad that fear plays such a huge part in American voting, where, again, it's like you're talking that being strategium and you're went old school and you're kind of
What is that, Latin?
That's
Greek.
I love dead languages.
Hello.
They're kind of going, I don't know, again, you're kind of going against your own, what you want to do. Like, mm-hmm. But again, 12% is a huge, huge number. That's massive for someone who's not even on the ballot.
Right.
Like, that's huge. And I'm surprised that so many people are still voted for Sarah after that Willamette, the Willie article. I'm really...
I don't even know if I've read it.
It's an article about her hosting back in the day, hosting the co-founder of
that's Chloe Udaly.
Oh, that's not. No, it's not. Darn, yeah, you're right.
It is. The bookstore.
You're right. You're
right. Chloe Udaly had a bookstore that hosted one of the guys who wrote what is considered to be one of the foundational pieces of literature.
You don't even need to mention it. I'm not even going to mention it. And it's not the part.
It is. That's how they describe it. I mean, it came after
they need to get their stuff together. That's why.
That's what they say.
Well, if that's what they're basing their stuff on, they really need to get some better literature. Tail.
Well, not the primary axis with which I would critique the Proud Boys is, hey, what are you guys reading over there? I don't know about that.
Well, if what you're reading is the foundation of what, that's your foundation, get a better book.
Yes, that's true.
You ever heard of Salinger? What up?
It's a whole group of Salingers down there.
DJ Salinger.
Were you going to say something, Sonia?
Yeah, Patton Oswalt said about Bible Thumpers, like, look, I'm glad you like a book. I'm glad that you're reading.
Yeah. Reading is good for you. That's the other thing.
Hey, it's a beginning.
But liking a book does not, from the fact that you like a book, does not follow that the laws by which we all have to live should be based on that book.
Yeah, I think
the way Oswald put it was, true. I like Green Lantern comics, but I don't have I don't get to go down to the State House and say, I want to have a power ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
That's interesting. I'm just going to wonder what I should do with my afternoon today. I have some favorite books.
Yeah,
which
one should I base a form of government on? Hard to say. But Animal Farm.
Animal Farm.
Catherine was asking.
So, I just wanted to put it. Sorry, didn't mean to just put you out there. I'm just kidding. But you daily got some splaining to do to me after this.
Yeah.
Some splaining.
Well, he had written this book?
I don't want to get into it. I don't want to give it any clout.
I don't
clout.
Think we have enough facts to really delve all the way into it.
Because from what I've seen, what little I know about it, it doesn't seem like there's much basis on which to hold Udaly accountable for that. Especially to the point where it leaves us with Mingus Maps.
Well,
it makes me want to hold her accountable, though. It's me personally. Okay. So
I guess we'll
put the link to it on
I do. So maybe we'll talk about it off air after
the
show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll put the link to the article in the mentions of this episode page if you want to check us out. KBOO.FM, search up The Gap. It'll be up a couple minutes after the show today, so we can all be on the same page about this kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, in terms of thinking about what got Mingus Maps elected, I mean, I think that he is an interesting figure because he came into the race as someone who was disgruntled with the way that Chloe Udaly was handling things. I think before, COVID and before, protests and stuff like that, like, Chloe Udaly was going to face a tough fight because of the way that people were upset with her about how she handled neighborhood associations and trying to expand the ways in which, like, regional interest groups can have like a feedback loop with city government, basically. And that is potentially something that people have been voting on as their issue. But I also think that, like, Ted Wheeler's election also kind of like, Portland has this, like, reputation, right, of being this really, like, progressive place. But there's a lot of different, like, varied interests throughout the city. Which isn't to say that, like, Mingus Maps doesn't appeal to progressives at all, because I don't think that that's true. But, he's endorsed by the Business Alliance and the PPA and the landlord lobby. And
And I think that makes a lot of people like kind of raise their eyebrows, like, mm-hmm. wait a minute, this is kind of what we've all been protesting against.
Right.
Or not again, but, you know, mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily align with what the protests have shown that the people's will's been, you know, the right. last, you know, year.
Well, and I mean, here's the other thing is that you can think about it. Am I voting for this candidate or am I voting against somebody else?
Well, that's been the ongoing mantra this year, you
yeah.
know?
So, I think there'll be something later on to understand differently about it, especially when we see how he governs. What's up, Sonia?
If this were... If liberals and the Democratic National Committee were an intimate relationship, it would be very clear that this is abuse. You know, where else are you going to go? No one else is going to have you. No one treats you. Anyone else will treat you worse than I do.
Well, that's
you
kind of
you have to stay with me.
That's kind of how I feel like a lot of like minority groups have with like the Democratic Party. It's
yes,
like, where are you going to go? Who's gonna? Are you gonna go to them? What are they gonna do? Are you gonna go to the libertarians?
Right.
What are they gonna? They're gonna tread on you or something?
Yeah.
Or not tread on you. Who
yeah.
knows? But yeah, that it's. I mean, yeah. There's, but it shouldn't. It again. I know that it, we should focus on the way that it is and the results because that's the only tangible thing that we have. But
mm-hmm.
it should. I don't think that it should be like this. It should. There should really be.
Right.
It shouldn't be held hostage. This is this.
And I think there's like another kind of lens that you can look at it as a problem with the system, and that, you know, like obviously critiques of the Democratic Party are totally valid, but the Democratic Party is also like an entity that wants to win elections and, you know, in that way is not interested in, you know, creating ranked choice voting or making
mm-hmm.
more or
yeah.
changing to a parliamentary system or whatever that would allow for more diversity in terms of like political opinions, right? Of like what is even on the table or is being considered. That because, I mean, both parties are entrenched in the status quo in that way.
Which there's a lot of money, you know, that flows in there to keep those interests like as are, which, you know, that kind of makes me want to go to our analysis of like the finance limits and all the different ballots that were passed.
Yeah.
Although I do see Sonia over there. Do we have any?
We got a couple of calls.
Hey,
okay.
Folks waiting to join the conversation.
Sure.
All right. So, Robbie, you're up.
Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Robbie. How's it going?
Good morning. I guess as good as everybody else's morning.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the election results. It's an interesting topic, and it's one that I wanted to provide a perspective on because I think people are voting totally wrong. It makes me sad that we think we have to vote for the person who we think is going to win compared to the person who we might want to win. And that's the trap that's, you know, being set. It would be great to have ranked choice voting. It'd be great to have all these things. But at the end of the day, what it comes down to is like, oh, who do I think is going to win, or who are we going to take the vote away from? And people who vote like when we vote with that mindset, we are doing a disservice to voting. You know, you're not voting for what you believe in anymore. You're now voting in this bureaucratic, you know, type of way where it's like we're trying to support a winning force or who might win compared to actually what we believe. And I think that's what happened. I think that's that one caller was trying to bring up at, or what happened with her.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah.
She was like, oh, you know, like Teresa Rayford, that's what, you know, and honestly, that's really great that she got 12%, but I think she probably would have got more if we weren't blinded by this bipartisan politic, you know, voting method that we have. But I think that was also Mingus Maps and Chloe Udaly. Like, you know, that was a tough one for me. I didn't know. I voted for Chloe. I'm not too sure about, you know, what it was that, you know, she had done wrong, but I felt like she had recently been into office. And if you're, you know, once you get somebody into office like that, you know, it's like, you can't just take them out, you know? And so when I saw Mingus Maps' background and that, you know, I was definitely not going to be voting for him. But I'm curious, did you vote for Chloe or did you vote for, you know, the other person?
Who are you talking to?
If you're asking us.
Both of y'all.
Oh, well, I technically do not live within Portland city limits, so I did not have to make that choice.
Exercising the fifth
over here. But yeah, I appreciate your comment, Robbie. I think it's it's well said. And, you know, and saying that, you know, people are voting wrong, I think is like, you know, it's not like anyone's individual fault, right? Like making, you're trying to make the best of what you can with kind of a mixed bag of, you know, if I, because like it sounds like there might be, yeah, there might be like regrets on for people who voted for Sarah and for people who voted in Teresa because they're the person that they agree with the least is the one that got elected.
I wonder if people who voted, who did the write-in participate in the write-in campaign are feeling bad, and now people who voted for Sarah feeling bad because they're like, oh, if I would have just, you know, went with, you know, kind of like, you know, one part saying I wish I would have went with my gut with what I wanted, and the other one's like, oh, maybe I should have actually voted for Sarah so that we could have voted Ted out or something.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's a mixed bag, but there's something to be said about you going in with a strategy or are you going in just with your heart or without the strategy. I wouldn't say necessarily with your heart, right? Because it's not, you know, if you're not just thinking, oh, I feel like this person would be great. Like, you're actually reading and you're figuring out what their platform is, and so I would say you're either going in with a strategy or without a strategy, you know, and it's hard because we're blasted with all this information. We don't want to make a bad decision. And I think as humans who live in a capitalistic society, we always think of how can we get the most, like maximize maximize benefit. Yeah. Maximize, you know,
returns, yeah. So return on investment,
thank you.
Business school.
Yeah.
But thank you, Robbie. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate thank you, Robbie.
You. Do we have another caller there?
Yeah, Reef.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, hey, Reef. How's it going?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Just as soon as I get on, I forget everything I'm going to say. I'm glad that that last caller really kind of hit the point on the head with the dichotomy of blue and red. I think it's really true. That definitely has to be acknowledged. But I think the problem is much deeper, and I think the Portland vote explains that. You guys are talking about a mixed message from the voters. And it requires your type of, you know, communication, this conversation you guys are having, you know, and I love the way you opened the show. Was real, real pumped up. I was super pumped up. And then you guys kind of like nerded out like right away, which is great because we're looking at this conversation from amongst peers, and you guys are peers, and whether you guys are all aligned on the same issues or not, highly unlikely that you are, at least you come maybe from a similar camp in that respect. But I just feel like when we look at voting as a whole, how removed it is from the participatory type of government that is required of us.
Well, yeah, it's interesting to think about how like important it is for your vote to be individual, right? Like it's you're the one that gets to make the choice. But, you know, when we're talking about these situations where you're put in strategic voting, you're also trying to read the room. It's like, what are you guys doing? Like, are you guys going to get mad at me if I do this other thing? Like, I don't technically have to tell you what I'm up to, but like just sort of that.
We were out, Freeman X and I were out in the streets on election night doing some street reporting, and all the people that we talked to, they're all worried about, you know, we were asking them, like, what are kind of the things you're worried about the most? And all of them said, like, things that pertain to not just them, things that pertain to the greater good and to the collective goodness and to, like, society as a whole. So there's a lot of a better COVID response, social unrest, like, and, you know, white folks saying, you know, the way that Black people are being treated by the Portland police. So it's like, oh, you know, and like folks who, you know, not to judge or anything, but looked like they were like a little bit better off, you know, had like better clothes, you know, like nice suits on and stuff. And they're like, you know, they weren't saying like, oh, property taxes. They were saying things that were a lot more community driven. So that's interesting. But yeah, I wonder also like how much is there that fear, not fear, but like kind of like reading the room or maybe feeling uncomfortable or scared. Like there's some, sure, Portland is I don't know, maybe someone who's a Trump supporter may feel intimidated coming to, you know, Southeast Portland to vote for Trump, you know, like, and I don't know, maybe feel like something might happen to their vote or something, you know, and it's like this kind of fear that I think that is produced from us being so polarized these days, you know, where there was a lot of people just seemed to be happy to exercise their right for democracy. They weren't necessarily going with the chants or the slogans of like vote him out or something. It was just like exercise democracy, like do your part. Mm-hmm. So it was an interesting contrast to like the world that you see online to our actual community.
Yeah, that's super interesting that you guys got to be there in person.
It was fun. It was fun.
See what people were up to. Because I never like associate that with mail-in voting, to be honest. Like it's like dropped it in the mailbox a week ago. hope it gets there. Oh, got the email. It got there. Nice. Nice. They said what I said. They saw what I said.
Well, we appreciate you. Reef, do you have anything else you wanted to mention?
Oh, absolutely. just that you guys do have a relevant show, and you are reaching a large target audience. And I think that overall, you know, I was a Bernie supporter, obviously, but in my mind, and my attempts to kind of, you almost have to infiltrate politics in a way. It's like, well, I'll call a radio show, or I'll go to, you know, a city hall or town hall meeting and make my voice heard. But, you know, in terms of relevance, I feel like the majority of people are not relevant, unfortunately. And you start opening the conversation, which you get a lot of folks who just want to hear themselves talk, but then you start hearing these other folks that like bring so much to the conversation. And so it's so important to keep that dynamic going, I guess. But in terms of, you know, bridging the gap, like you guys are saying, I mean, I really just think you guys are relevant, and this conversation needs to be open to such a wider public kind of participation. And, you know, obviously ranked choice voting, I think, first I've ever heard of it. You know, I'm pretty sure my candidate that I voted for wasn't somebody that I wanted, but I was so concentrated on the bigger stuff this time around, and I think a lot of people were. It's really nice if we can all just sit back and, sure, we lost a couple of huge federal senates so far, and there's obviously the Georgia runoff, but we still need to kind of look at all the successes we've had and just understand this is exactly where we thought we could get to. It's almost best case scenario, even though, you know, Bernie really had that huge opportunity, and it just kind of got, I feel like, illegally undercut, obviously. Anyways, my thoughts are swirling. I really appreciate listening to you all, and can't wait to catch your next couple of shows, whether you guys are talking about local issues and, you know, or backyard stuff or whatever.
Thanks.
Thank you, Rafe.
We will be here. But yeah, we could talk about some of the successes.
Yeah, the amendments, I think, were successes that were voted. I keep saying amendments.
Here's
as though
the thing,
we're just
ballot
adding
measures, amendments, propositions, all point to the same idea.
It's because it's ballot measures, and I guess I just put an A instead of the M, and I think amendments instead of measures.
My correction was to say you're not unjustified in thinking that. The point I was trying to make there.
107 through 110. Yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them, which is a huge success. That's
it's kind of wild.
Good for you. Good for us. Good for, round of applause for you. Finance limits. That's the first one.
Yes, it's.
You know, I didn't realize this. You didn't have to disclose the finances, but that is crazy to me. How does a state not make,
campaign finance disclosures mandatory?
Expenditures. How is that not
It is weird. It is weird that prior to this, obviously, like Oregon was one of the worst in the nation when it came
to
unbridled
campaign. It's nuts.
Unbridled campaign spending.
And that also includes money going or finances going into ballots. I didn't know that that was so. That's a really interesting addition there.
Right.
108, the tobacco and e-cigarette, which was tax, which was introduced by Kate Brown. I don't know that.
Do you remember the whole vaping thing?
Was that before or after Tiger King? No, I'm kidding.
I don't even know if that was this year.
Was it?
Like I was saying, time is a flat circle. Is that what people say? I'm not sure.
It's making you dizzy.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. I was like, maybe that was January. I'm not sure. Continue.
No problem. And then 109, which is the drum roll, the magic mushroom. Oh, thank you. The
magic mushroom. I don't know if that was good sonically. Sorry about that.
Althea did a thing. Yeah. Magic mushroom. Excuse me. Psilocybin. To be fancy with.
Clinical.
What's that?
Use the clinical term because this is about clinical use.
Yes, the clinical use
of psilocybin mushrooms.
They do mention the phrase magic mushrooms in the ballad, though.
Nice.
So just so people know exactly what we're talking about.
Timmy's not coming out of left field here.
I'm not making this up. This is not...
Like, oh, my God. Nobody told me it was related to magic mushrooms.
But it's going to be pretty much fully spearheaded by the Oregon Health Authority, and they're pretty much going to be responsible for all dosing and, like, implementing
regulating
procedures,
people to do it.
Everything. So it's not, you know, I've been seeing a lot of memes, and I just wanted to say this is not going to be what it's not going to be what you think it's going to be. This is something that's been in the works for years. Like for years. You know, mm-hmm. Go to the grocery store and you see people and they have their signs up and they're like, oh yeah, 109, like check it out.
Yeah. Specifically legalizing it for clinical use because there's been a lot of like compelling studies about how it can be used to treat anxiety, depression, addiction issues,
PTSD.
That have otherwise been like resistant to other types of treatment.
And so shout out to the Oregon Psilocybin Society.
Say that five times fast.
They've been spearheading this. I've seen them canvassing all over the place. So it's, you know, they did it. So good for y'all. It's years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course measure 110, which is the decriminalization of drugs, but also the treatment of addiction, addiction treatment initiative. So it's a two-pronged.
Yeah, it takes the excess marijuana tax money and diverts that funding to existing treatment organizations in the state.
Yes, and it's going to take drugs such as heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamines and reclassify them from A-class misdemeanor to class E violation, resulting in a $100 fine or a completed health assessment. So that's, you know, that is quite a change.
That's a big one, yeah.
And it does not mean that you can come here from other places and do that. Is still,
yeah, again, that's the memes.
Federal illegal. Do
like,
not
get in the car. Let's go to Oregon.
No, that's not still illegal.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. If it being a misdemeanor was the only thing keeping you from doing it, it's like, think about that. I don't know.
Well, Schedule A misdemeanor, I think it's I'm not quite sure what that entails, but it's interesting that they take it from the cannabis.
Yeah, I mean,
to cannabis tax, which it's a complete circle, and the circle is making a heart because hopefully this could help a lot of people.
Yeah, help to reduce. Like, I think it's like a step in the process of trying to like reduce that stigma if you are suffering with an addiction disorder, of heading it off a lot earlier, and you know that there's not this risk of like, if I tell somebody, if somebody finds out that's in some kind of official capacity, somebody who's a mandatory reporter finds out, all of a sudden, you know, I'm either in jail or in mandatory treatment, that kind of thing. So hopefully it can have people be more empowered. Although I saw a thing, I think yesterday, about how like the Oregon legislature is like, it might take us a little bit of time to figure out how all of that works, just because we are the first in the nation to do it. Mm-hmm. There's not like a blueprint to follow. There's going to be potentially some trials and errors.
Well, I think that was also with when cannabis was legalized. I think it was Denver the first place. No, was it here? No, was it here?
Colorado? I think like Colorado and like Washington? New Hampshire or something did it at the same time.
Wow, okay. Well, they were also like, they had to do all the blueprints and,
figure out how it works.
It's kind of hard with something, you know, especially when it's something that's more organic, like a plant, where it grows differently in different climates in different areas. So you can't necessarily legislate it the same. So there's definitely going to be a lot of trial and error and like wiggle room for at least a couple of these ballots. But this is, I think that this is this people have spoken, and this is, I mean, a lot of these passed in with like over 50%, some
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, high margins.
Yeah, they weren't like close calls. Mm-mm. So it's an interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and then, you know, in the nation more broadly, there was a bunch more marijuana
Arizona.
Legalization. One in three U.S. states you can consume marijuana legally in some capacity. Some of them it's medical, but one in three states is pretty dang good in terms of that ratio.
Now let's get all the nonviolent drug offenders out of the prisons, because that's incredibly unfair and crazy.
Now that you mention that, like, it makes me think about the timing. Mm-hmm. And I wonder when marijuana legalization made it on the ballot, because it is like a big moneymaker in a lot of places, and like states are facing revenue shortfalls. So maybe that's me being like, you know.
Oh, you mean like corona? Because of the corona.
It's like, well,
other
states have done okay with this. It will make us some coin.
That was thinking about how that is a good point, because we see that it's a huge moneymaker for the mm-hmm. state.
Yeah, and that's part of 110, is that there's like all of this excess money that hasn't been allocated anywhere, and that it's allocating it now to existing treatment centers. The interesting thing about 110 is that like Oregon Recovers, which is like the main addiction treatment like advocacy group in the state, opposed it.
Interesting.
They were against the measure, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, I'd love to get an understanding of that.
Yeah, I mean so we ran an interview, you can find it on kbu.fm. But their main point was that like the healthcare system as it stands right now does not have the infrastructure to support this. And that functionally, and this is all according to Mike Marshall from Oregon Recover, so, you know, don't take mm-hmm. me out of context here. I can't like independently verify this stuff, but that for the most part, people don't go to jail for like drug possession of like a small quantity on their own, right? It's usually in coordination with some kind of property crime, you know, breaking and entering, that kind of thing that somebody gets picked up on and the drug charge is added. But what the drug charge does is that they can divert you to drug court, and instead of serving time in jail, you can get into like a recovery program instead. And so their concern is that by, you know, removing this as something that is a misdemeanor that could divert you into that system, that at least in the short term, people will not be able to get the kind of treatment that they need, and that without that crime, like making it crime, quote unquote, like making drug possession a violation, then could functionally put more people in jail for property crimes.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's interesting. Wow, I'm learning a lot here.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Is it a KBOO News In-Depth? Or?
Yeah. If you go on the KBOO.fm and search up News In-Depth, there's a interview with the No on 110 campaign that kind of expresses some of those concerns.
Well, you heard it here. Oh, well, we have a couple of moments left. This has been quite a fascinating milieu of thought-provoking musings, all of the above. Sonia, do you have something to say there? I see you.
Well, I was wondering about, like, with improved access and less stigma towards admitting that one has a problem and seeking treatment, I think a lot of folks would thereby avoid the situation where they have to resort to crime to feed a habit goes untreated because they're afraid to seek treatment.
Interesting. It's like a which came first, the chicken or the egg type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
And I mean, I think the addiction crisis generally is one that has not been like successfully addressed in the United States.
Yeah, and it's just getting way worse with the.
So it's like, why not try? Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Every day you see more and more tents. You see more and more folks just out, you know, and it's really heartbreaking, and I'm really hope that this new group of people that the people had elected / technically kind of elected can address these ongoing problems, especially since some of them have been in office when these problems first started. So like, you know, come on now. Thank you all so much for
tuning
in.
Can I say one last thing?
Oh, yes, please, go ahead.
I was reminded of this when Robbie was talking, or maybe it was Reef, but you know, everybody comes out every 4 years to vote. vote in the midterms, we can pay attention to politics in the meantime. And I know that a lot of people don't, but like holding people accountable now that they're in office is what we should be doing now, not just waiting for four years from now to sort of like gripe about everything that's happened, because your voice does matter in the meantime.
And it seems like, you know, there's always someone we can write in just in case we want to just say, no, that's not an endorsement or anything. Just say these are just conversations. Speaking of conversations, this has been quite an exciting and enlightening one. Thank you all so much for tuning in to KBOO Portland. This has been The Gap. I'm Tammy.
I'm Althea.
I'm Sonia.
And I hope that you have a fantastic rest of the week. And this is the weekend.
It's the weekend, you guys. Finished. It's Friday. Fall apart.
Good advice. Thank you so much for that. It's Friday. Fall apart.
You are listening to KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM on your Portland dial, KBOO.FM on your everywhere on earth internet dial. Stay safe, stay sane, stay tuned.